Take your Bibles now, and I invite you to turn to Isaiah, the 59th chapter division, Isaiah 59. And we'll begin reading in verse 3, going through verse 14. I've been preaching, and will continue to do so for the next two or three weeks, on contemporary compromise. I feel that the Lord led me to preach this series of messages. I believe they're needed. I believe that God's people need to be informed as to what really is going on in what is called the Christian community or throughout Christendom around the world, and especially here in our country. Contemporary compromise. And we know that the target for the devil is always the truth. The bullseye that he's always shooting at is truth. He wants to destroy truth. So the target, the battle before us primarily lies in truth. Isaiah 59, beginning with verse 3. For your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice's eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their web shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity, for brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. We roar all like bears and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, for there's none. But there is none. For salvation, but it is far from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. Then verse 14 especially, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Truth is fallen somewhere in the street, and there's no way that equity can enter. Equity cannot enter. We have the problem today of Satan fighting us and trying to destroy everybody in any way he can. Satan wants to destroy people, and he has many methods that he uses to try to destroy me or you. Even if we're saved, he wants to destroy us. And the main thing, as I said earlier, that he wants to get rid of is truth. He hates truth. You know why? Because Jesus Christ is truth. And Satan hates Jesus Christ. He is truth. That's why the name Jesus nowadays is very controversial in our culture. Very controversial. The last time I went to have prayer with the city council, a man had met me and gave me some instructions about being very careful about how I prayed and what I said. And as he was very kind about it in his own way, But he didn't want me to say anything that might upset somebody of another faith, of another religion. You know, we're getting more and more into that. I remember praying at a banquet. I'm so used to preaching and speaking, that was a normal thing to say. But we were at a large banquet, and I was asked to have the opening prayer. And then a motivational speaker that some of you may have heard of, Dr. Herb True, was the main speaker there that night, and the Chamber of Commerce in our city. And so I was to have the opening prayer. And then I did, and I prayed in Jesus' name, just like I always do. And I sat down, and he got up and complimented me on the prayer when it was his time to speak. And after he got through complimenting me, then he began to tear me to pieces. He said, I wish these seminaries would teach these reverends to not pray in Jesus' name, because that offends some people. It offends the Jews, he would say. It offends so-and-so. So my wife was sitting by me, and she put her hand on my leg and squeezed real hard. It wasn't a love tap. She was saying, sit still. Why don't you just don't say anything? And I started to, and I thought, well, wait a minute. I have the last prayer. I forgot. They wanted me to pray at the beginning and the ending. And so it got time for me to come up and pray at the ending, and I said my prayer at the end, and I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, the only name whereby you can be saved, the most wonderful, beautiful, lovely name in all of the world. Herb True was trying to sell tapes and books. There were tapes back then and all of that. It was a cold winter time. It was at the Holiday Inn. People were passing by him, and he was just looking at them. Maybe two people at the table, and I had people passing by me and my wife shaking hands with me and saying, we appreciate what you said and what you did. And a Jewish businessman told one of our men, who is president of the Chamber of Commerce, you tell your pastor I would think less of him if he didn't pray in Jesus' name. But boy, I tell you, praying in Jesus' name is very offensive to people today. Now, Lucifer absolutely hates Jesus because he wanted Jesus' position. He wanted to be equal with God. And he got kicked out of heaven, and that's who we know as the devil today. But he's been fighting ever since. We're fixing to celebrate Christmas, the birth of Christ. Satan tried to destroy him at Bethlehem. Killed all of the children 2 years of age and under. You think that's a fairy tale? That really happened. Killed all of those babies, all of those children, 2 years of age and under. And then he tried to tempt Jesus to do wrong and try to destroy truth through that. And then he tried it on the cross of Calvary, but it didn't work. Because this was truth, John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. In the latter part of that verse, he says he is full of grace and truth. That was the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you, he attacks all of those who believe in preaching truth. That's why Bible preachers are not appreciated today. That's why people attack them. That's why people take issue with them. That's why they don't like a strong Bible preacher with a strong Bible message and someone who's going to get up and tell you the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. But that is the only way to heaven. Satan, you remember on the message we preached recently, is very subtle. He is absolutely subtle. He is a master of deceit. And what he will do is to change the truth into a lie, which he calls a truth, which is a little t. We have the capital T truth. He has a little t, which he calls truth, which is nothing but a lie repackaged. And we need to be alert to that. That's why we always must go back to the Bible. Go back to the Bible. Over and over and over, go back to the Bible. Be alert. You see, we cannot outsmart the devil. You can't do it, friend. Nor can I outsmart the devil. But thank God I can out-truth the devil. Amen? We can out-truth the devil. And truth is falling today in the name of tolerance. We are taught today to respect all views and to love all views and to accept all views everywhere, religiously and otherwise, primarily as truth. It's truth. They believe that. We years ago started teaching values clarification in the public school system. All in the world, values clarification is and has been is that all they're teaching that all moral values are acceptable. Can be a bad moral value or an immoral value or anything else. And then you have in corporate structure and the firemen and policemen and others who have to go and take these courses to be trained in sensitivity training. So you won't offend somebody who is maybe a homosexual or someone in some other category. You don't want to offend them. And so if you happen to say something like that, now, I don't believe that we ought to go around with racial slurs and that kind of thing. And some people say that our kind of churches are sort of like the Tea Party, that we're bigoted. That's a big lie. I want to ask them, how many of them run buses and pick up African-American children and bring them in? I want to ask them, how many of them run buses? How many of their churches run buses and bring the Hispanic people in? I want to ask them, how many of them started a Spanish ministry where people have been saved and they've started their own church? And 99% of them would say, well, we don't do that. And friend, we're not, that's not the issue. But we have to know what the Bible says. I'm against any of that kind of thing, but when it's clear-cut Bible stuff, then we don't need sensitivity training. We need more Bible training. Now, they would say this, experience becomes truth. And there's a big fancy word for that, and I wouldn't bore you with it, but experience becomes truth. And they say today that truth is no longer truth, period, just truth. You cannot say that's truth, just truth. They say what's true for you is okay. What's true for me is okay for me. So you have your truth, I have my truth, we're all okay. And you go out on visitation, you ought to try it sometime, but anyway, you go out on visitation, soul winning visitation, and knock on doors, and you won't be out there 10 minutes knocking on doors until somebody will say, well, you know, all roads lead to heaven. I don't believe what you do. We have another religion, but we're all trying to get there, and we're going to wind up in the same place. That's a bunch of baloney. You don't find that in the authoritative Word of God. And they are talking about all of that. I believe there was someone one day who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And either you believe he was an imposter and a liar, or you believe he was the Son of God and he was telling the truth. I rather think somebody who died and was buried and arose is going to tell the truth, and that he is the truth. So you have absolute truth, and then you have relative truth. You have existentialism, all of those things. You have moral relativity. That says there are no boundaries. And let me tell you where moral relativity will lead you to: absolute chaos. And that's what we're experiencing in our nation right now. The laws become very vague. How are you going to prosecute somebody with moral relativity? The filth that is out there is protected by something that is called freedom of speech. We had freedom of speech when I was a boy, but we didn't let them get up and pour out that sewer trash in the name of freedom of speech anywhere, everywhere, all over the place. There's a point where logic and the Word of God, of course, above that tells you it ought to end. Politicians, they want to be moderate and bipartisan. None of them hardly have any courage to get up and stand up and say what needs to be said. And really lay it out like it needs to be laid out. In our churches today, like this church, the emergent church, that I talked to you about last week, the emergent church, that movement to say, they say, if you declare truth, preacher, you're arrogant. You have no right to declare that that's truth. You're being arrogant. Or many of them have removed the pulpit, podium. The pulpit is really all this up here, but they've removed the podium. The reason they did it was because it is authoritative. It speaks of the man of God and the centralization of the preaching. Anytime you see two pulpits in a congregation in a church somewhere, you know they're doctrinally wrong. They're off the wall. I can prove it to you every time. There's a centralized pulpit because the preaching of the Word of God is central, and it always has been and always should be, and we should not remove the podium from this place. It is a centralization of the preaching of the Word of God. They've removed it so it doesn't offend anybody. It's too authoritative. And by the way, I apologize for wearing a tie today because my tie is too authoritative. I should not wear a tie. I rather think a man of God ought to put a tie on when he stands up to represent God. If I was going to represent the President of the United States in a foreign country, I wouldn't go casual. I'd dress up. I'd say, I'm from America, and I'm here to represent as an ambassador the United States of America. And I'm going to wear a tie by the grace of God because I believe God deserves that. But the point I'm making is that they say it's too authoritative. It's too authoritative. If we say the Bible says, then they say you're being too narrow-minded and arrogant. Now they've replaced thus saith the Lord with such things as dialogue, concerts, and drama. The preaching of the Word of God is not central anymore. They've replaced all of that. Isaiah couldn't have preached in our churches. He couldn't have. Isaiah 58:1, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions, and the house of Jacob their sins. Isaiah, I'm sorry, you can't come and preach in our church today. You'll be too straightforward with your preaching. The culture has what we call designer truth. Like designer clothes, they're popular, they're well accepted. And all of that, they're very trendy. And designer churches, designer truth is out there for your taking. But I believe the Bible is discovered truth. Not designer truth, but discovered truth. It is the Word of God. Very quickly, four or five things I want to mention. Designer truth is all evolving truth. In other words, it's always changing. Let's turn, if you will, to 2 Timothy just a second. And chapter 4, if you'll turn there, and the first part of that verse says, 2 Timothy 4:3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Brother, I believe we've come to that time. Designer truth is that. They reject the Bible as being irrelevant and old-fashioned, and they create new truth, truth versus discovering truth. And what they say is, we've got to move with the times. This was okay for its day, but we've got to move forward. And truth is always on the move, and truth is always changing. Young people, truth does not always change. It is not to be always evolving. We hear a lot today about change, and we hear a lot of that in our churches today. But I believe that it's a dangerous thing out there, because truth cannot always be changing and evolving like some tadpole turning into a monkey. Romans 1:25 says, they changed the truth of God into a what? Lie. Into a lie. And then designer truth is experiential truth. 2 Timothy 4:3 again, where he says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine." Watch this. "But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers," plural, many teachers, "having itching ears." And so he's talking about designer truth being experiential truth. And every person has a sinful nature, and they don't want any authority over that central nature, that sinful nature. That's why you go out and knock on doors, and it happens very often for those of us who go out, you're going to run into somebody and they'll strut and raise back their chest and say, "I'm an atheist." Well, God doesn't believe you. Read Romans chapter 1 and 2. God says there aren't any atheists. Why do you say you're an atheist? To cover up your sin. That's why. That's why people say, "I'm an atheist. I'm an agnostic. I'm a doubter." And they create their own truth. And so we have the experiential truth. That's how the seeker-sensitive church got started. Seeker-sensitive church. That is the Burger King churches. Have it your own way. And so they go out and do surveys in the community and say, "What do you unsaved, lost people want?" "Well, we want rock and roll. We want almost dancing. We want everything in the world." "Okay, we'll comply and you come on in. Come as you were, leave as you were. Doesn't matter to us." Seeker-sensitive Burger King-type churches. And so they trade the traditional for the contemporary, and immediately the old folks aren't welcome. "We're going to have a service for you old codgers, and then we're going to have a service for the young couples called a contemporary service. And the sooner you old people can leave, the better off we'll all be, and we'll be glad you left, except for your tithes and offerings. You old folks aren't ready for this, and so you just have to hang around a while, and then we're going to change it." And so we put you in one category and others in another category. We have a traditional service for you and a contemporary rock service for you over here on the other side, the younger generation. And then we say it's just because they're young. That isn't the issue at all. And then designer truth is eclectic truth. That word eclectic, I had a friend of mine who is a DJ up in Nashville, and he's been in that kind of work for a long time. He sent me some special Christmas stuff last year. And it sat on there, an eclectic Christmas. And I thought, I better look that up again just to see. I may not want to listen to this, you know. But it's just a combination of a lot of different things is what the word really means. Just bring a lot of different things into it. Broad, diverse is what he's talking about. Well, that's exactly what they were saying back here in 2 Timothy 4:3. That's what he's warning. He said they want to satisfy their own lust. They heap to themselves teachers. They have itching ears. They want the itch scratched. And so you have groups that make changes, and they want to bring in every kind of religion. And this will probably stir the pot a little bit, but it's still true, and I have a book in my office, and I can prove it to you. Promise keepers meeting together with an eclectic-type philosophy in their rallies, letting their rallies take the place of local church meetings. And if you don't believe that happens, it does happen. And many times there have been some homeschool groups, homeschoolers who have met, and they have met as a group with all kinds of plural teachers teaching everybody. Anybody wants to teach you a thing, and they meet in place of a local church. That isn't biblical, dear friend. That isn't biblical at all. No amens? That's good. I'm still going to preach the truth. So you have many voices, a plurality of truths. Just bring it on in. If you're Muslim, bring it in. If you're Catholic, bring it in. If you're Lutheran, bring it in. If you're Episcopalian, bring it in. If you're Methodist, bring it in. If you're Baptist, bring it in. If you're Church of Christ, bring it in. Whatever you may be, just bring it all in. We're not going to say a thing in the world about doctrine. just talk about how we love Jesus and everybody will be okay. That's not what the Bible teaches, dear friend. And if there is no authority, if there is no authoritative under shepherd in that meeting, then whatever you have is going to be short of truth. And anything is going to be accepted as truth. Whatever is truth for you, and don't you dare question it. I got to hurry. It is also elevated truth. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 4. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth. Turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. It's elevated truth. Enlightened. They believe nothing and tolerate just about everything that comes down the pike. And we're seeing that today. And they say, we are enlightened. You're in a dark old cave and we're enlightened. Political leaders are that way. Preachers are that way. They have learned the art of talking a long time and saying absolutely nothing. Watch them on television. Watch them in these debates. They work so hard at saying nothing, trying to say something. And there's many preachers that are like that too. We're told to preach the Word of God. Preach the Word versus enlightened tolerance. Preach the Bible. Now let's shift and go from designer truth to discovered truth. Discovered truth is eternal truth. Amen. 2 Timothy 4:1, he said, I charge thee therefore before God. Oh my. I charge you therefore before God. You see, it all starts with God. If there is a God, then God can give us truth. He has given us truth in His Word. He has given us truth in His Son. He has preserved His Word, and it's without error today. We have the truth, and it does not change. Thy Word is settled in heaven, God says. The psalmist said, it is settled forever, the Word of God. And then discovered truth is established truth. Let's say, for instance, a man has this idea that marriage between two men is okay, and that they can get together and get married and raise a family and adopt little boys. And so he has this idea that that's okay. Well, I'm going to disagree with him. You say, why, you're just a bigot. You're just too narrow-minded. No, Genesis chapter 2. After you get married, when you get married, he says, let a man cleave to his wife. Leviticus 18:22. How plain is this? Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. And I'll say that till the day I die. Because it's in the Word of God. I don't cherish being controversial. I'd rather like to be liked. But when you preach the truth, there's just a lot of folks, even in your own church, aren't going to like it. That's sad, but it's true. So he says it's an abomination. You say, culture today says, it is a hate crime. No, it isn't. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 just a second. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. If you find your place, follow along. Here's the thing. God calls sin, sin, but He, thank God, He forgives sin. But He doesn't overlook it. He calls sin, sin. 1 Corinthians 6, 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? That's something to think about. Be not deceived, neither fornicators. Anybody not know what that is? Premarital, extramarital, or any other kind of stuff that goes along with it. Nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. That's pretty plain, isn't it? Now watch the language. And such were, underscore that word, and such were some of you. He said you were sinners. It was wrong. You lived in sin. And such were some of you, but ye are, thank God, washed. But ye are sanctified, set apart unto the Lord. Ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Jesus did not water down sin, but he says, I've got good news for you. We need to celebrate the fact that God will forgive people of their sin. Celebrate it. And my friend, that is not a hate crime. When I name sin and then I tell you God loves you and he'll forgive you, God loves the homosexual just as much as he does the whoremonger. Amen? He'll save either one. God loves the drug addict as much as he does the alcoholic. He'll save either one. But he's not going to say that those things are okay. That's why his son had to die. God didn't just say, oh, I'm just going to forgive everybody, universalism. No, he didn't say that. He wasn't about to say that. He said, sin is sin, and it must be paid for because I am a righteous God, and it is going to be paid for. You can do it yourself, or you can look at the cross where my precious son paid for it, but justice had to be done. And it was done through Jesus Christ on the cross. Discovered truth is also examining truth. You know, a lot of times we read our Bibles, and we'll even read through it in a year, and I'm not against that, but we'll check our verses. Here's what we need to start doing is let the Bible read us. Amen. We read a lot of Bible, but do we let the Bible read us to show us who we are? Because discovered truth is examining truth. And the Bible says, and Paul was very clear to that with Timothy, that the Word of God is to rebuke, reprove, and also exhort us. So let the Word of God read us. That is discovered truth. Here it is. Let's let it read us. Let's let it tell us what's wrong with us in our lives. Stay in the Word of God. And then discovered truth is enduring truth. 2 Timothy 4 and 5. In 2 Timothy 4 and verse 5, he says, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. That's 1 Timothy. Let me go to 2 Timothy. That one worked too, but 2 Timothy 4 and verse 5. He says, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Watch thou in all things. That wasn't a kind little suggestion that Paul made to Timothy. It was the inspiration of the Word of God. And what he's simply saying to Timothy is, Timothy, stay by the stuff. You're young. The devil's going to attack you. He's going to try to pull you away from truth. He's going to try to pull you away into popularity and all of those things. Stay by the stuff because truth is what needs to be preached. Why? Because truth changes lives. Truth changes our lives. And I just simply say to you in closing, which is your favorite part of the message, truth. The truth is Satan's target. And if he can destroy truth, then he can destroy people. And if he can destroy truth, he can send people to hell. Because the only thing that will set you free is truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And so, Christian, the Bible tells us the truth about what sin is. And we need to look into the Word of God and let it look at us. And if we find something in our lives that isn't right, we need to ask God to forgive us, repent, and turn from it now, today. Let the Word of God read us. That's part of what the message is all about. And if we violate, listen, if we violate the principles of the Word of God, God will chastise us. And if you can violate the principles and not have God whip you, you're not saved. Because God promises everybody who is saved, if they violate this principle, God's going to take his razor strap down off the wall in heaven and wear out your backside, one way or the other. You can't get away with sin. I can't get away with sin. We cannot do it. And lost person, I just simply say in closing, that part of it, that Christ is the truth. The only way to heaven is through Jesus. I'm telling you, that's the only way. And if you refuse the truth for something more palatable, for something you've come up with, it's your way. I can get there by my good deeds. I can get there by this, that, and the other. You're wrong. The truth is, Jesus said, I'm the only way to heaven. Yeah. And you need to go by the truth. Let's stand. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Bible today. I thank you that even with all of my sins and all of my faults, that I have the Bible to believe and I can know that I stand and preach the truth. And God, help us to be very careful. I know I have an obligation to you as the under-shepherd of this wonderful congregation to give them the truth. Even if they don't like it, or even if they don't appreciate it, I do have an obligation to you to give them the truth. And I'm sure many do, and many will. And I pray that the others who maybe do not understand, that you would open their hearts and their minds to see that it's deeper than just some contemporary fad that's going on, because it's helping destroy the truth of the Word of God. Help the Christians that are here that need help today. May they come and seek it from you. And those that are unsaved, I pray they'd come today and be saved. In Jesus' name, amen.